welcome to the Interracial Drawn Podcast. I'm your host, Leslie Mack, and I'm joined, as always,
by a very white guy.
And for our week two of the Fear the Walking Dead recap, we are joined by the illustrious Black Rob. What's up, Rob?
All right. What up? What's going on, everybody?
Oh, yeah. So we are back at it a week later. Going to be recapping episode two today. And if you have just finding us by some random happenstance, you can find us on iTunes.
Congratulations, first
or,
of all.
Yeah, good job. You can find us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Just search Interracial John, or go to our website, Interracial John. That's JAWN.com. And of course, we're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and all that at Interracial John. And for this show, you can leave us feedback, of course, on Stitcher or iTunes, but you can also email us questions or comments about Fear the Walking Dead or anything that we all three of us say about the show to interracialjohn@gmail.com. And you can also call, leave us a voicemail at 657-JOHNERS and let us know what your thoughts on the show are and also who your most irritating character of the week was.
Oh, yeah.
Which we'll be talking about our own
later. Did anybody tweet that? Did we get any feedback?
No, we didn't get anybody yet, but you know, it's early, so we'll see.
You still got time. Episode two.
So if you don't know the illustrious Black Rob, as I mentioned, he is just a dude on the internet trying to get some jokes off. And we are lucky enough to have him with us every week to recap Fear the Walking Dead this season.
The way you say illustrious, I keep in my head thinking from like the Three Amigos when he gets the letter that
like
says
infamous.
Infamous. Illustrious. Black Rob.
I'll take it. Like I said last week, I've been called worse. I've been called a lot worse. So illustrious works for me. So.
Excellent. So let's see. What were your expectations heading into this second episode, Rob? Were you like thinking it was going to, like, I was wondering if it was going to pick up immediately after the last episode or kind of how it was going to go from there. What were your expectations?
The biggest expectation I had was just more zombies, number one.
Yep.
And more deterioration of society. That's like the biggest thing.
More carnage.
Yeah.
Word. Just like how society starts to break down. That's the biggest thing I'm looking forward to with this spinoff. And we kind of got that. And so I was excited. I enjoyed this episode a lot.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Tobias says that line about, you know, people don't realize, but when society breaks down, it goes fast.
Yeah. That dude, he's like a soothsayer out there.
Yeah.
Well,
he's so woke.
He is extra woke.
30-year-old pimple boy.
Yes, fucking woke as hell. So the episode was called So Close Yet So Far. It was just an hour-long episode, so they went back to the normal timing of the show. And the synopsis says, while Madison struggles to keep Nick from a crippling withdrawal, Travis ventures out to find his son before the city of Los Angeles falls. So that was pretty ominous. And we can just jump in. First scene opens up.
Well, should we play? I got that music.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Do the music, I guess. That's the theme?
That's the trailer song. It's not what they play in the beginning.
Oh.
It's when they had the, I guess maybe the roller credits too. But I like it. It's Fear the Walking Dead.
Sounds like a bad rave. Anyways, we open the episode with our friend, the black principal, walking the halls of a very, very empty school. He hears a noise and he turns around. Now, right away, I'm like, come on. One more goddamn black dude.
Hey, it's true. As much as people don't want to accept the fact that the whole black dude on The Walking Dead trope where, you know, they always die or turn into walkers or whatever, it's true.
Yeah, they stay.
I think they trolling us. That's what I think.
They stay killing black people.
Because it's getting a bit like, it's like, okay, we were joking around at first, like, ha-ha, it's a coincidence, ha-ha, it's happening. And then, like, this shit is just taking it to the next level.
Well, what's the principal's name? I forget.
Artie.
So Artie, and then who's the guy from Mac? Is that his name or Matt?
Matt, yeah. Yeah. And the very next scene before the credits roll is dumbass Alicia. Here she go. Can't leave well enough alone. Dude stood her up. What's she got to do? Go follow her happy ass to his house to check on him. And we hear him making some like very like Walker-like sounds coming from him. Breathy. She's like, oh my gosh. And then the credits start.
Yeah. What was the dude's name? What was her boyfriend's name?
Matt.
Hey, he must have some bomb dick because she was willing to, in the midst of an apocalypse with society deteriorating, she was like, nope, I got to check on my black dick.
I got to go to my boo. Okay. Mm.
So that was the only thing I could think of is why is she willing to risk it all?
Well, she's kind of, I don't know if it's not, I'm not disavowing you of that opinion, but in the end, when the shit's going to hell with the neighbor, she's like, go out there, you got to do something. Like, she was, I think, a little bit naive on just how bad shit really was.
Well, she didn't see anything.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's
true. Know, she kind of was just like, yes, they're sick, whatever. She didn't think it's that big a deal. Like, yeah, people are doing whatever, but she still thinks like shit is going to, like, happen normally.
Heal itself.
Whereas Madison and Travis and Nick are like, nah, bitch, shit is about to get real fucked up fast. I will say, though, she took her happy ass in that house without even saying shit. Just walking in people's houses like, hey, anybody home?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it looked like she could tell that there had been a struggle, too, and she just went right in, just no fear, just...
La la.
Doop, 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 doop. That privilege.
So it seemed to me this shit was happening kind of in real time. Like, really, no time had passed between
None.
The first episode and this. The last episode, the first episode left off with her on the beach waiting for him, like texting him, and then, or at school texting him, and then left off with them seeing the walker. So, and then the next scene we see the three of Travis and Alex and Madison. They're in the car leaving.
No, they're not just leaving. They're backing out right. of that ditch, like, you know, LA, like, water runoff area that they ran over Cal.
I mean, at this rate, it's they're going to cover like 2 days in these six episodes,
At this pace, for sure. Right.
So they're leaving there and they're speeding home in the truck and they kind of, to me, immediately, like, start thinking, like, rational-ass people. We need to get the fuck away from people. Yep. We need to get to the goddamn desert. We need to get some fucking food, grab all our people, and roll. Like, I was like, okay, finally, some fucking white people with some sense in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, like, the first good idea in, well, like, in the... There was no good ideas in the pilot. They did all stupid shit in the pilot. But, like, once they finally saw that... Calvin was a walker. They're like, nope, we got to get the fuck out of here. So we finally got this family doing something smart.
Yeah. Yes, finally. And
this was also the scene that was the first of quite a few I would just generally call like Black Lives Matter references, I guess, maybe, where Nick's tuning the radio trying to figure stuff out and hear things. And almost as like a throwaway, he's on a channel and it says, there's been a spike in officer-involved shootings over the last 48 hours. And then he goes to another channel looking for information on, you know, the walkers, not realizing that the officer-involved shooting is probably because of walkers. But there's, like, I think, like two or three other, I don't want to say nods to protest movement, but
yeah, they definitely have references some specific of some ones. Sort. Yeah, for sure. I also will say Nick would make a terrible DJ because he was changing them fucking stations. He'd be like that DJ that always never lets the like jam play all the way through, you know, when you're in a club and he like switches it off and everybody's like, damn,
he's all frantic. He's on like day two of a cold turkey fucking heroin addiction.
Yeah, and he just saw a zombie, so yeah, there's that. Just and ran over Calvin. His best friend yeah. three times, so yeah, I guess I could see that he's a little shaky on that. So they then call Alicia and she's like, I'm with Matt. He's got a fever. I don't know what to do. Blah, blah, blah. And they're like, stay away from him, girl. He's not good. And then they go to pick her up. And these scenes are pretty interesting because Travis is weird. Sometimes he seems to have a level of authority with these kids that's inappropriate. And then sometimes they act like he ain't shit.
That's true.
And I'm confused by how that works exactly.
The mom supports that they ain't shit because there's a couple different, I feel like, times where she could have stepped in but hasn't. You know what I mean?
No, but when he was like, can I talk to him about like getting her to leave the room? And then she like he hands her the glass and like sends her out of the room to get the water. And she does it. And I'm like, huh. Last week she was like, why is he even in here? So that's, I don't know how all that went down signals. In a day. It's very strange. And Matt got some absentee ass parents, huh? They going to go to Vegas. Solo. They had a right. nice they had a nice enough house. I think they could leave somebody with him.
Yeah.
That house was super nice. I was real like, okay, nice. Matt's parents, they You know, Matt's parents probably believe in respectability politics. You know, like pull your pants up.
Pull your pants up, Matt.
He's in the suburbs. He's in the white. He's in a primary white school. You know,
especially because they made it seem like he was like from the wrong side of the tracks. Like he's out there painting the mural, and she's like, "Oh, you could teach a class." Like I don't know. They made some like weird references between them. Made it seem like they weren't. To me, he seems like his family seems like a higher socioeconomic level than hers does. Just looking at their homes,
based solely on the house.
It's true. His house is much bigger. I like when he's clear. I think he gets what's happening to some degree.
Well, he certainly gets he ain't fucking making it out of that bed.
Well, she says I love you, and he says I love you too. That's why you got to go.
Yeah,
like get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna eat you. Brains.
Mm-hmm. Brains. I want your brains.
You know when Nick's doing the radio business too, he had another line. I feel like Nick's always like just like the writer's version of like keeping it real as fuck. Because he's going through, he's like, shit, it's like it's not real. It's like it's not real. Like he's saying like it's not happening. Nobody's talking about it.
Right. He also took his sweet ass to go rifle through Matt's house and shit looking for drugs.
And he was so disrespectful about it too. He
didn't disrespectful.
Like, gently, you know, sift through the cabinets or anything like that. He was just like, drugs, drugs, drugs. I need drugs. Where's the drugs? Where's the drugs? Give me the drugs. Give me the drugs. I love Nick, man. He's the most hilarious character on this show.
Somebody made a comment to me about him saying that he's got the best skin of any junkie that they've ever seen.
That's
it's like dewy, fresh. You that's know, they put him in some like baggy clothes and gave him fake dreads, and they're like, "Look, he's a junkie.
He's a junkie."
It's pretty funny.
He hasn't bathed in 3 days. He's a junkie.
So here goes Travis's son Chris. He's boarding a city bus. Now, I did notice that all them kids hate the fuck out of this kid right away.
Yeah, he gets some shit.
They were laughing at him and pointing, and he's clearly like a loner. He ignores his dad's phone call, and I think he was your runner up last week, right, Rob, for most irritating character.
I think he was. I didn't really like him.
Yeah, I could see he's a total asshole. And then they hit a traffic jam, and some dude runs on the bus and announces that police shot a homeless man. Now you're from California, and I was confused. I said, "Is that how they do shit? Junkies just be walking on buses screaming." Town crier style, what's going on the street?
The cops shot some homeless dude. They shot him 20 times.
They shot him 20 times.
You know what? I've never seen that happen on a bus out here, but I live in San Diego, not L.A. So
maybe they do it different down there, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And so he gets off the bus, and then we go Travis, Madison, and Nick and Alicia. They get home from Matt's, and their poor fucking neighbor, Mrs. Cruz, is blowing up a bouncy house for her daughter's birthday party. Mm-mm, girl. Now, their uncomfortable interactions there are the best because the actors play it so good where they're like, yeah, great.
Okay, like, see you later.
There's blood on the front of our car, and our daughter's boyfriend's about to be dead. See you later. So
bye.
I thought that was really good. They have no clue what's going on. And their shady ass neighbor coughing. What was that?
Yeah. Well, and Nick even kind of gets mad about that. He's like, how can you not tell him Mrs. So-and-so anything? And he's like, you know, what are we going to tell him? He's like, well, we know more than she does. Like, but again, like, what are you going to do? Like run on the bus and scream.
Yeah. Like, how do you, and I liked that because it's like, how do you explain to someone that the zombie apocalypse is upon us. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
How do you go, okay, hey, check this out, neighbor. People are dying, and then they're coming back to life, and then they're eating other people. It's crazy. Go, run for your life.
Run.
Like, no one would believe you.
Not
they didn't believe Nick.
Right. Exactly.
He didn't believe himself.
Right.
He wanted it to be the drugs.
Well, yeah, he wanted it to be the drugs. And it's funny because that kind of comes back because they actually have somebody. They have Travis have to tell his ex-wife what is going on. And it was interesting, the words he chose. But we'll get to that when we get to that scene. But I was happy to actually see them force one of the characters to actually vocalize what the fuck is going on and what they've witnessed, and kind of seeing how they've pieced it together in their heads, because there's a lot they don't know. They even say when they see Matt, they see he has a bite. And right away, Madison goes, is that how it happens?
Yeah.
And Travis says, I don't know. That's not how it was with Calvin, because he wasn't bit. He just got shot.
He got shot in the stomach, right?
Right. So that's interesting there. Clearly, Matt was bitten, though. So, you know, that's interesting. Let's see. Where were we? Oh, okay. So, they decide that they're going to have to go. Travis has to go get Liza and Chris. They get in the phone. They go to pick him up. Now, this shit was just irritating as fuck, too. This man is trying to tell this woman something's wrong. What's happening? Is he? She completely ignores him. She literally talks over everything he's saying and then doesn't listen to anything he's saying at all. I see why they got divorced.
It was like my biggest takeaway from this episode is that every family needs to have a zombie apocalypse code word.
Yes.
So like
pineapples.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly. So like if Drew calls you and he's like, you know, you guys are mad, say you had a fight the night before, right? And he's like, Les, no, you don't understand. But he's like, Les, pineapples. You know, all the other like, shit out the window, right? It's like shit just got real.
Yeah.
So it's like he's trying to explain like shit is getting real and his, you know, his son is mad at him, his ex wife is mad at him, they don't want to talk to him, and he's like, you know, you gotta have that code word.
Yeah, right? You know what? I'm
break
thinking,
through the bullshit. You're right about that.
I'm thinking like I could like with you, Leslie, because we've been together like almost 2 decades. I could stare you in the eye, look you dead in the eye, and I could say some shit, and you could be like, "Whoa, this is like this is going down. This is real. This is serious." But if that thing I said to you is like, "Yo, people are dying. They're coming back to life, and they're biting you, and they're eating your brains," and you, there's no amount of like. I'm really trying to convey like seriousness.
I mean, I think you'd be legit scared, but I don't know if I would just write off. I mean,
you wouldn't believe
me. I don't know. Just you know what
this
crazy.
Is? This is Poe's Law, right? P-O-E. There's a internet discussion group about I think creationism versus evolution, mm-hmm. and someone was describing something, and an internet user named Poe said, "If your extreme view." Is, you know, in polemic debate, extreme views are no different than a mocking of that extreme view. So if there's not an LOL at the end of your comment, some people will generally think it's real rather than mocking of it. And this is sort of that same thing. Like if you're like, oh, zombies, but like you're trying to be like really real, but it's so obtuse and out there that it seems like mocking. Like you'd almost like without
like you're
the
joking. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And in the absence of some clear designation that you're joking, it's almost impossible to tell one from the other.
Right.
So you need the code word. You need pineapples.
Yeah, you need the code word. The yep. other thing that I thought was good was that this is kind of an homage or certainly something we've seen on the original Walking Dead is that they've separated the group already. And so you kind of have two stories happening at the same time. And they end up you end up with three things occurring eventually. But I thought that was very reminiscent of what we're used to on the Walking
Their
Dead.
Their storytelling mechanism.
You know, the various pairs or three people or four people in different groups doing
multiple actions.
Whatever is going on. So I thought that was kind of neat. We didn't really get much of that in the first episode. And a lot of stuff was happening on all of those fronts too in this episode. And then there also was a point when Alex was like clearly upset about killing, you know, running over his friend. And the mom says, "You had no other choice." They're real quick to just be like, it was self-defense last week and you had no other choice this week. And I'm not saying he didn't, but it's interesting to me that
they know the language.
Yeah, they're ready to jump right in there.
They're setting it up. They know the language.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nick starts going through withdrawals at the house and it's not going very well. He needs medicine. They can't really tell what's going to happen. And it's the daughter says, "Don't you have anything stashed? What about the Vicodin from when I had my tooth pulled?" And she's like, "I flushed it." So it tells me she definitely has a problem.
Yeah.
Because clearly Nick hasn't been living there for them to need to flush shit. Meanwhile, Chris has joined a mob that's gathered around this homeless man that the person jumped on the bus and informed everybody about. And we see an EMT worker that has a bite that's being treated. And of course, our boy Chris takes out his video camera and starts filming, and then the mob starts yelling at the cops, and it turns into this like confrontation. Now, I thought this confrontation, I've seen a lot of confrontations with police over the last year, and it was so like, that's A, not how it goes, but it was pretty interesting the words that they chose to use in this, in this scene, you know, talking about First Amendment rights. And,
well, the cop tried to get him to stop filming right away.
Right.
You know, I'm saying that's not a nod to protest and Black Lives Matter, but it just was like, stop filming, like instantly. It was the first thing cop said.
Right. And then the guys were like, he wasn't doing anything. He was unarmed. They mentioned that as well. Mm-hmm. That was kind of another like buzzword I thought of.
Interesting that they didn't care until it was a white person. That
Then it was like, wait a second.
But I'm asleep, though.
Yeah. and when, I don't know if it's in the same scene, is this when, what's his name, gets his wife's phone and calls Chris? Is that the scene?
No, that's a little bit later, but... Yeah, Travis also noticed on his drive to his ex-wife's that there was a cop also stocking up with water. So yeah. It's interesting because you would assume that the cops would have kind of been the first people to interact with most of these cases because they would be called when someone's violent, et cetera, et cetera. And I would imagine them being the first people. It's why you see a lot of law enforcement types in the Walking Dead series in a lot of the other groups that end up. They're like, oh, what are you, law enforcement? A lot of them ended up being that way. And it would... That doesn't surprise me for a lot of reasons, but that's one of them. They would have been early, you know. They wouldn't have been the woman across the street blowing up a bouncy house right about it. You know what I mean? You know, they're like stocking up on shit.
That chick was so late.
Oh, Lord, she late. Late, late, late.
She was unwoke. The opposite of woke.
The very opposite. So
I think at one point, though... to go back a little bit, when they were in the car and Nick was messing with the radio, wasn't there one point where he hit a station where it was like, you know, in other news, like the recent increase in officer-involved shootings or something like that, which I thought was, you know, again, I'm kind of a geek when it comes to all the, like, the apocalypse-type stuff. Like, if this apocalypse were to happen, yeah, like you said, the cops would be called a lot, and then they call, and then they Absolutely. Get to the scene, and it's this person who you hit them with a baton, they don't do anything, right? So eventually you shoot them, yep. right? And those numbers would increase as the zombie apocalypse is upon us, you know what I mean?
So for sure.
Before it's full-blown apocalypse, be like, you know, the cops are shooting a lot of motherfuckers. Like, yeah, they'd be killing
folks. Notice especially you see, like, they, because normal training would have them shoot for body mass, and that would not work with these individuals. So I think that even that would be something that they would know sooner than the regular population as well.
You see, like, that
nope,
later.
You see that later, that they've learned, like, oh, nope, headshot. Got to be in the fucking face. And so that's another interesting thing. They've definitely talking about it amongst themselves, certainly, and sharing it.
They did use that passive officer-involved shooting.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. They love that language. Oh, really? Shit. You mean he didn't kill somebody? Okay, got it.
He was just kind of there.
Yeah, you know, he was involved.
A bullet did leave the gun.
Ancillarily.
A bullet did leave the gun and struck an individual. Oh, really? Is that what happened? Okay, got it.
So the next thing that happens is Madison, now she has to leave and go get some drugs for her son because he's going to go through withdrawals. They seem all very well equipped in dealing with the withdrawal symptoms and detoxing. The daughter is even like, he's going to have something. He won't make it to the desert like this. Like, real matter of fact about this shit, too. Yeah. Like, exactly what he needs. He can't get methadone. Obviously, it's hard to get people. She couldn't even get a 911 person to go to Matt's house, even though he lived in that nice-ass area. So that should tell you right there. And so she goes to the school. My first thought was, now, see, this is a dumbass move right here. Going to this empty-ass school. And plus, we had the foreshadowing in the beginning with Artie walking around like a fool. Now, I noticed that there was caution tape on the door of the room that she went into. And I thought that was interesting. And then there's a body outline on the floor. We couldn't see what was written on it. Something was written there, but I couldn't quite see it when they zoomed past it. I tried to freeze frame and everything. I couldn't figure it out. But I don't know. I don't know what was going on there. And then she very quickly breaks into the medicine cabinet and gets out the meds that she needs. And here comes creeping body coming through the doorway. She gets scared, and it's woke-ass Tobias coming through to... get his knife, he says. Which, come on now, son.
That little kitchen-ass knife, though.
What's he gonna do with that kitchen-ass knife?
He do work with it, though, later. He tries.
He got that little cheap-ass steak knife.
Can I have my knife back? With
it? You know,
and then he was like, but really, I'm here to get some food, because...
And I didn't realize that at first. I'm like, what is he doing at this fucking-ass school? It was like, it threw me for a loop. But
yeah. He came to get some food, stocking up. He's going to get on some canned food. And he starts dropping fucking knowledge on this shit.
Yeah, he do.
Like, right away. He's like, nah, you know, this is how it starts. Stuff is going to break down. First is going to be, what did he say? First is going to be communications. Then it's going to be the internet. He starts going through it. The electrical grid's going to go because no one's going to be there to work the servers. Civilization ends fast. Like, he literally just drops all this shit right in her lap. Like, you better prepare yourself, bitch. Prepare.
Yeah. And then in another, you know, great moment in white privilege with her. She was when he was stocking up on the food. She was like, "No, we got food.
We got food.
There was like, oh, that was all canned stuff. Like that was good shit. That's like, you want that shit on the road."
He looked at her like, "You so stupid.
For real? Have you been not listening?
Have you not heard what I just said? You got
I told
food.
You it's an epidemic.
You got enough food for forever? Because if not, you need some food, bitch. I don't think you understand what I'm trying to say to you." Come on.
I have organic hummus in the refrigerator. I'm going to be fine.
We'll be fine. We have some food. Yeah, we get an organic delivery box every 2 weeks, so we're good. So then they see they're starting to leave. Some alarms start going off. They're like, "Nah, fuck, let's get out of here." Now they start running out. And then Artie comes out. And she recognizes that it's Artie. And she's like, Artie. And here goes Tobias. "Oh, we need to go. Miss E, let's go." He's like, we really need to go.
You know, you were all saying how smart these people were. Like, she knows they're dead people. And they heard on the intercom, like the walker breathing sounds and shit.
He's so like, why are
you
like,
"Artie, can you hear me? Turn around, Artie. Hi, Artie." Like, stupid.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Stupid. She was still like, "Oh, we'll get you some help."
Yeah, we'll get you some help, Artie.
What the fuck? That's like going into that crack house fucking in the middle of the night. Just dumb.
Just dumb ass shit. And of course, Tobias risks his life for this white woman right off the bat, goes after with that tiny ass knife, starts stabbing in the neck, tries to stab in the head, does not go in deep enough to make any dent in Artie. They roll down the stairs.
It bounced off his head.
It literally was like, ding. He was like, "Bitch." They roll down the stairs and he's like, "Oh, I can't get her off me. Get him off me." And she comes out, and then she goes fucking buck wild, though.
Yeah, but that little knife. I mean, because he was first, like she couldn't have got off if boy hadn't come with his kitchen knife.
But she started going in her purse first too. Did y'all notice that?
But was she going to get like a gun or something?
I don't know what she had in her purse, but she was like rummaging in her purse for something, and then she went and grabbed the fire extinguisher. So I was like, this boy about to be eating. You getting in your purse for something? What you getting out of a lozenge? Like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seemed like she didn't react very fast while Artie was trying to chew on Tobias. You know what I mean? Was it Tobias? I'm bad with the name.
No, it's Tobias. Yeah, it was real. Okay. She was hella slow on the uptake.
Yeah. Tobias like, "Bitch, help! Mm-hmm. Help! You don't see him trying to eat me?
He's trying to eat me." And then when she started hitting him, though, it was like all bets were off. She went fucking crazy. I literally tweeted, "Welp, Madison's going to be all right in this new world," because she was not playing.
She swung that thing with conviction.
She was like, "Okay, that's what I have to do. Boom, boom." And that's what she seemed like. She seemed like one of these types that's like, "Well, I'll just do what I
got
to do."
Yeah, got it. Click.
Which actually makes me really see her as a parallel to Rick as well. It made me think that, because he's very much like that too, where it's like, you don't think he's equipped to do certain things, and he's like, "Nah, I'll do what I gotta do." She seems like she gonna do what she gotta do.
Yeah, they didn't show that last blow, but you knew the head got smashed.
Oh yeah, bad. She got blood all over her fucking shit.
Yeah, they gave you the squish, but they didn't show it to you.
Also, I noticed that when they go into her car, they don't got not a damn stitch of food for Tobias. What happened to all that food?
They left it.
After they killed Artie, they could have gone back and got it all nice and
he's
slow.
He's dead already. Go get the fucking food.
You're right. It was like a little cart, like easy roller.
Selfish. Just selfish.
And you know, you I forgot about the line when before they engage with Artie, she's talking to Tobias, and she's like, "Oh, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, they this or that." And Artie and Tobias is like, "Which they? The they that's supposed to warn us?" Remember, because he said last week, like,
she was real slick with it. He looked at her like, "Really?
Some shade, yo, dude." Which
extra
day?
Shade.
The
Which
day that was supposed to warn us?
That day you mentioned yesterday that ain't done shit.
Oh, the same day that was supposed
that
to warn
day?
Us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the day? All right. Got it.
Then we cut back to Travis and Liza, who have made it to where Chris is, and shit is popping off. It's like full blown riot. And, not yet, but riot police show up. And again, this was like, I've seen this. We've all seen it on the news in response to lots of protests around the country just today in Baltimore, where they're in their like full riot gear and they're kind of advancing in a line again to the protesters. And in the midst of all that, here come a white dread zombie. Some white chick comes up with her long pink dreads, all zombie-like. And this is where we see that clearly the police have been talking about what they can do to take these people down, because he shoots once in the chest and once in the eye, and that bitch is a goner. And then all hell breaks loose and everybody starts going fucking crazy.
And, you know, that was where when Tobias, Travis was talking to his son Chris, and he's on the phone, and he says,
I'm part of something.
It's a protest. People are taking action. It was very, again, very specific language. Yeah, yeah. Bit of a nod.
I'm part of something.
Yeah, I'm part of something. It's a protest. People are taking action. He's all excited until he sees the riot gear.
Shit is not going the way he thought it was going to go. So they're in the midst of this, and then there's a barber who's apparently named Daniel Salazar, and he's like cleaning up a shop, closing down, and Travis and his family beg them for shelter. He doesn't want to let them in, but his wife says, yeah, you know, let them in. And as everything starts going to hell, they lower the shutters. And then they meet his daughter, Ophelia. And he explains to his wife at that, or his ex-wife at that time, that the victims that have this illness, they don't die. They come back, is how he described it. He's like, I don't know how to describe, I don't know how to say it, but people don't die. They come back. And they're very violent. Now, a few things about this scene that I noticed was that, one, they were real forceful about keeping them out of that back room.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, what did he say? He said, you'll be safer
up here.
Yes. Up here, yeah, in the front.
Yes.
Something's back there.
Something's going on back there. And then the daughter comes out, and the dad almost kind of like sort of defers to her. And she's like, it's okay. Why don't you guys sit up front again, like just pushing them to the front? And she was in her back, and she was in the back room. So I don't know what's going on back there, but it sounds like it's a little shady.
Yeah. You know, and I forgot. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Drew. No, go ahead, Drew.
Before they got in, when he's trying at the gate and all hell's breaking loose and they're trying to get in, he's talking to the shop owner guy, and the guy's like, well, the police are out there. And Travis says, the police are the danger. I was like, interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. They kind of are.
At this point, anyways,
they're like shooting motherfuckers. No, what I was going to say, though, is just thinking about them trying to keep Travis and his family out of the back room is I'm wondering, like, if they're going to get into, like, a lot of people having trouble, like, letting go of family members and accepting that, like, yo, that's not grandma or pop no more. That's a fucking zombie now, you know?
Right.
What I mean? Like, you know, I try not to compare too much to the Walking Dead, where we're on season 5. But like in season 5 of the Walking Dead, like if someone dies, they just do what they got to do. It's like, okay, he died. We got to stab him in the fucking head, right? Mm-hmm. It's just that's not him no more. He's dead. It is what it is. But like in Fear the Walking Dead, like they don't know that shit yet. So like, you know, when people die, even like with Madison and the principal, she was like, oh no, we'll get you help and shit. Like, nah, that's not the principal no more. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
But shit, they wouldn't get to that so quickly.
They haven't dehumanized him yet. Yeah.
On the Walking Dead. Exactly. Yeah. And on the Walking Dead, we've seen people not be able to let go. We had the governor obviously,
who's I thought of
was
very
the
well.
Biggest one. And we've had other people that have had that same issue. Certainly that crazy ass little girl, Herschel at the farm. He had all those people in there. Yeah. So you can see where it would have been an evolution. I think that the group that we've mostly been following on the Walking Dead, they're, let me just say this, the reason why they've lived this long is because they're of that, like, we got to do what we got to do type of individuals. It's why all them other people have died, because they haven't been that way. So it seems that they've constantly encountered people who have had this, like, trying to hold on to this, trying to hold on to that, constantly trying to, like, rebuild shit that was. And their success has been never trying to do that, really. They're like, nah, we'll just set up shop in this jail. That's not something people would normally do. You know what I mean?
True.
So, definitely these people would never be in that mindset. Certainly not after not even really knowing
not
what
even
the fuck
48 hours.
On. You might think there's going to be a cure. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you don't know. You don't know.
For sure.
Because they even do that in the beginning, the first season of again, we shouldn't be comparing, but they're trying to get to the CDC. Like, you know, even into season 4, they had the lie that was getting them all like, you know, we're going
to
fight fire with fire.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
They haven't given up on that.
Yeah.
Because what other option is it? Like, just kill everybody? Kill all the double kill all the walkers?
Yeah.
Tap them all on the head, every single one on the planet? Mm-hmm. That's your option, I guess?
Yep. So one thing that they also mentioned, I think when they popped back to Madison's house, was that they said local, on the TV, it said local neighborhood watches are being established. And I thought, who the fuck is doing that? Who's establishing these local neighborhood watches to, you know, keep the zombies in a place? I don't know. I don't know who that is. Meanwhile, Alicia tries to leave Nick, and he fakes a seizure to keep her there.
That was, I mean, he was foaming at the mouth.
He put something in his, he put that water in his mouth. He think he's slick. But the thing is,
that, oh, was he faking it?
Oh, he was totally faking, because later he says she tried to leave, but I stopped her. Is what he said to his mother.
Yeah, you didn't catch that. It's almost kind of under his breath.
He's like, she tried to leave.
Well, no, she goes, because you had a seizure.
He goes, she tried to leave.
She tried to leave. I stopped her. And I think the implication being that he faked it.
The thing is, a junkie would know how to fake shit like that. He's a liar.
He's the best junkie ever.
He's a liar, yo. He's a liar. He lied to you. And so that's why I was like, oh, I got to really watch this motherfucker. Because at any moment, I could be thinking he's being sincere. And in reality, he's just like doing whatever he want to do. So we got to keep an eye on that motherfucker right there.
Nick Slick.
He's very slick.
He don't come out on the bottom of nothing. Uh-uh. He don't come out on the bottom of nothing.
Enough. Travis, Calvin is the one under the bottom of that car. Lest we forget.
Lest we forget indeed.
Lest we forget.
Right.
With his, I didn't tell anybody about you, Cal. Let me run you over right quick. And I see also that Madison got a little extra something from that medicine cabinet. That's not just the pills that she.
Yeah, she took a lot to her. She took a lot. She took a lot.
Yep.
And she only gave him the one little, like, oxy pill.
Like, this will be enough. We'll have to ration it to you.
And then he fucking starts crushing it up right away. Oh, like, yeah. He's like, you're going to shoot it. God damn. Oxy. You can't even just, like.
He's like, shoot. Oxy? That's great.
He was so Jesus. Happy.
He was. I was like, whoa. Okay. Brighten your day, I guess. Okay. Got it. And then one thing, though, I forgot to mention when she's dropping off Tobias. She's like, why don't you stay with me until this ends? He goes, this doesn't end.
Awesome, man. This doesn't end.
My nigga. He was like, this doesn't end.
He's a truth bomb, dude. He's like, yeah. All day.
He be knowing.
He does.
I wouldn't be surprised if he shows up next season on the actual Walking Dead in Alexandria.
Word.
And be like, yeah, I'm still alive.
Yeah.
With the kitchen knife.
I run all this.
You got fucking like kitchen knife. That's all I need. My knife.
But listen, if I was Madison, I would have been like, nah, you come on me. You know too much. We need you on our team. We need all of these.
Yeah,
skills
you might.
Together.
You're right about that. That's a mistake. Like, this guy's a wealth of knowledge. Yeah. Let's keep him around.
I would have kept his ass for sure. Hopefully, we'll see him again. And then Madison goes to wash her clothes off, and she breaks down a little bit. I thought that was a good scene as well.
Yeah, she's certainly a good actress.
That would be. Travis calls her and says, "Listen, they're."
Hold
stuck,
up.
You know, they're going to have to stay there for a little while. Tells her to leave and go to the desert. She refuses. She's not going to go. And then the connection fails. And this is when we see Mrs. Cruz's husband attack her. And she's like, don't look at that. Like, you don't want to see that, girl. And she's still trying to protect Alicia. And it's like, girl, you need to let her get in the know. And Alicia, I thought it was good because she's like, why aren't you? She kept pressing her. She kept saying, what's going on? What aren't you telling me? Like, for real, I need to know what the fuck this is. But also at the same time, you don't want to tell her because that means she's going to definitely want to go to Matt.
Oh, yeah. For fuck's sake. Mm-hmm.
As soon as you're like, yeah, well, they die and they come back. He's like, what you mean they die and they come back? Hold up here. My boyfriend said,
Matt. Oh my God, baby.
And then Alicia tries to go outside to help her. And Madison's like, oh, nah, honey. And she stops her. And I was like, damn, she really is going to make it. I'm telling you right now.
She's like a female Rick. You're right about that.
She's good. And then they end with the, you know, kind of like shot of the at the Salazar's barbershop. And the old lady is lighting candles. And that's it. That was the end of the episode. So I thought it was really good. I was really happy with the level of. While we didn't see a ton of walkers, I thought that the pace of what was going on was really good. And like I said, I really liked that they split everybody up and we got to see a couple of different scenarios play themselves out. So I liked all of that.
Still, they've shown us the preview of what's going to come up this season. And in that like 90 second, like, you know, coming up this season, they've shown more than they haven't shown. Like, what they've shown in that 90 seconds is a ton of destruction. And I don't think anything in the 90 seconds is anything we've seen in these first two episodes.
Well, no, but I mean, the power's already out.
In some areas.
Intermittently. The phone lines are already going out.
911's a joke.
911 is gone. So, I mean, you already see lots of stuff breaking down. Schools are done. Hello. All of that stuff is starting to break down. So I think that's good. And also, I had a thought that if this is the start of it, you know, we should never have expected to see a lot of zombies. You have to admit, you have to assume that the longer things this thing plays itself out, that's when you see these this proliferance of
zombies. Logarithmic. It's logarithmic.
So right now, it would kind of be sporadic. And so in reality, if we're just following these, you know, seven people, the interaction with zombies would be pretty little right now. So I guess it would. Go ahead.
When we're introduced to this family, like, as far as they're concerned, like, they're not aware of
anything.
They know, like, some weird shit's going on, people are getting sick, there's like whatever, but it's not like this at that point. And this is, but from the pilot to now, it's been what, 2-3 days, something like that, you know?
I don't think it's been that. It's been like 2 days. He was in the hospital for a day and then he got out.
I think it's been like 2 days.
I think it's been, yeah, because he was in the hospital for like, it was the overnight he woke up. Nick woke up in the morning and ended up in the hospital that day and got out of the hospital that same day.
Yep.
And then there was overnight and he met with Cal and killed Cal. It's been 24 hours. It's 36 hours from when Nick woke up right now.
Yeah.
Because it's night, right? So it's midnight. So it's 36 hours. That's no time at all.
Yeah, it's nothing. So yeah, so it's
and I do think, like you said, Leslie, it's going to be, and that's how it would go if it was like one person infected two and then those two infected four and then four, eight, eight, 16.
And then just as people accelerate. Die too. Yeah. Like, you know, once they, then the zombies start killing people and then they start coming back. And so you wouldn't see horde level of zombification for a while.
Horde level of zombification.
Yeah, you could quote me on that one.
Zombification.
Thoughts on this week and hopes for next week, Drew.
And are we doing most?
We'll
of
do that second? Last. So yeah.
And I think it was good. I really, I'm like Rob said, I'm glad they amped it up in terms of the pace and the excitement level. So I thought that was really good, and I was happier with the episode. And I'm looking forward to. More carnage, and I'm kind of invested in the characters. They've done a good job. I'm invested in Madison and Nick, not so much Travis, Chris, Alicia, or anybody else, but
just those two.
I ain't gonna lie.
Fuck all them other people.
I'd love for a black character to survive more than 20 minutes in an episode, so I could care about them some. That'd be good. Walking Dead.
Yeah, but it would be nice.
In the absence of that, right now, I'm kind of rooting for Madison, Nick. And I something about their fucked up mother son relationship, and you know, she's sounds like a reformed user, and he is, and I don't know. I kind of dig that. I'm somewhat invested in that character development. So good on the writers.
Yeah, for sure. Rob, how about you?
I think looking back now, I'm glad they did what they did in the pilot in terms of giving us a lot of backstory on these characters, because now we cared about these characters now, you know, in episode two. It's like, so they had to kind of establish that. So if the lack of action in the pilot led us to now, like we care if, you know, can Madison get the drugs for her son and get back and not get eaten by the principal, and, you know, can Travis get to his son and his ex-wife and all that stuff. And now going into episode three, can they reunite? You know what I mean? We, like Drew said, we're invested in the characters. So I definitely like that. I like the level of chaos that's starting to unfold and how society's starting to deteriorate. Like I said, I've said before, like, that's the thing I love most about The Walking Dead. Not so much just, oh, it's zombies and people get eaten. It's like kind of the human, an examination of the human condition in terms of how people react amidst all this craziness, you know what I mean? So I like that we're starting to see that. And I'm just looking forward to how things deteriorate further, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I thought it was a really good episode. I thought, just like you did, Rob, that they did a good job in the pacing of the first episode to the second one. And also, for me, I'm really looking forward to seeing more people that are looking to, like, take advantage of the situation. I don't think we've seen that yet. And just knowing human beings, like, there's no way you're not going to run into some asshole.
Sure.
And I feel like Salazar might be that type of dude. He seems real shifty to me. And I just feel like something's there. Something's going on there. So I'm interested to see if he's not going to, like, kind of use this to his advantage somehow or try and manipulate things. So I'm interested to see how all of that plays out and kind of if this group gets bigger or they try and, you know, keep things together and how that's going to go. So,
you know, Tobias soothsayed it. He prophesized it. He said the looters go after the pharmacies first, then the gun shops, and I forget what he said third, but Remember when he's talking to her and she's getting the drugs?
Again, more fucking knowledge. Just dropping bombs, right,
dropping bombs. So she, in fact, she should be like, you're coming with me, and gone straight to a gun shop.
Yep. That should have been her. Yeah. I was like, boom. Hey, we already got a pharmacy. What's next, Tobias?
Yeah, tell me, dude.
Got it.
Let's go. Let's you got go. Your knife? Come on.
Let's go, dude. Let's bronze that shit and let's roll. Yeah. So now is the time in the show where we name our most irritating character of the week. And I'll start with you, Black Rob.
For me, it was, again, I'm bad with the names, the daughter, what is her name?
Alicia.
Alicia. Yes. Alicia. She was just so determined to get back to her boyfriend, and this was the one knock I have on the episode is it didn't quite explain why, the family didn't explain to her what was going on thoroughly. You know what I mean? Cause it's like, and, you know, like we talked about, if you're trying to explain a zombie to somebody, like, they're gonna look at you like you're fucking stupid, right? But at the end of the day, like, if you see your mom, your mom's boyfriend, and your brother all freaked out over, like, everything that's going on, and they're like, look, no, you don't understand, the zombie apocalypse is upon us, and you're still determined to get back to your boyfriend who's about to turn into a zombie, like, no, I hate you, what's wrong with you?
Pineapples. Like,
yes.
Pineapples.
God damn it. Jesus.
This is not a drill. This is not a test. I hated her in this episode.
I got you. Drew,
her whole motivation was get back to my boyfriend, and that just kind of sucks.
So. Yeah. Ditto. And I'd say just everything Rob said, and in addition, kind of like her willful ignorance at it. And I, again, it's like you don't have a safe, you don't have a word, you don't have pineapples, so there's no really way to, like, hey, is this real? It's not a test. So she's not getting it, but it's almost like talking to somebody on Twitter in 140 characters that's like, I don't have white privilege, what are you talking about? You know, doesn't exist, you're bullshit, you know, what about black privilege? And like, you're trying to explain shit to him, it's like, it's just never gonna happen. And I felt like that was her, just like, just, you know, she needs to see a zombie up close. And same with Madison. Like, she's definitely, she was kind of like on the verge of like kick assitude, and then she had to put down Principal, whatever his name was, Aldridge. What was his name?
Artie.
Principal Artie. You know, she had to like smash his fucking head in. She's very, very different now. And because Alicia's not there, and she's like, I'll just pig headed about it, like, oh, you got to go out and help Mrs. So and so. She's my least favorite.
She's your least, most irritating.
Most irritating character.
I picked Liza. And here's why. First of all, she had an attitude the minute that Travis called her on the phone. And it's like, obviously he doesn't call you all the time. Why you give, like, listen to him. Just listen to what he had to say to you. Then when he showed up, she was even worse. She literally said to him, I don't know why I bother talking. Yeah, bitch, I don't know why you don't bother listening. How about that? Like, literally, that's her first comment to him. You didn't listen to a word he says, and now you're saying, why did you bother talking?
She hung up with, I'll see you next week. And like, that was the end for her. Like, you ain't coming. I'll see you next week. Click.
I don't know why I bother talking. She gets my fucking vote this week. Although I will say, what'd you say, Rob?
No, I was gonna say that's a good pick. As Valid. Someone who has a baby mama,
Lord,
yeah, I can relate. Like, it's like, I don't call you ever. So if I'm calling you in the midst of all this chaos, it's probably the zombie apocalypse.
Pineapples, pineapples, pineapples.
Just listen to what I'm saying. We gotta go. Round it up. And then she was like, "I was studying until 2 a.m. I don't know anything about what you're talking about." Like, okay, I get that you were studying, but you worked today, right? Nobody at your job talked about this. I saw you coming home with some packages in your hand. I'm sure it was on the newsstand when you walked in the store. She's just trying to act oblivious for no goddamn reason, talking about she was up till 2 a.m. studying. And I don't care about that either. And then that's my problem with her. So she's definitely on my shit list for this week. I will say she redeemed herself a little bit, because when he told her what was going on, she was like, oh, okay. Like, she didn't even like bend eyelash. She just was like, okay, like,
let's roll.
100% believed him and didn't even like question nothing. She was like, oh, all right.
I had to go get Chris.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah. I that she was my vote. Again, if you would like to join us in naming your most irritating character each week, you can email it to us at interracialjohn@gmail.com, or you can leave it on our voicemail, 657-JOHNERS, J-W-N-E-R-S. We'll be happily read or play them during the recap show. Not next week. It's in 2 weeks, because next week there's no show, by the way. I don't know if you two knew that.
I did, Labor Day. They said 2 weeks.
Yeah, so they're doing a catch-up night, which is like, you have two episodes. There's nothing to catch up on. But nice try, AMC. I see.
It's like two and a half hours. That's not a night.
That's ridiculous. But yeah, so in 2 weeks, we'll be back. So you have some time to, if you haven't watched the show, to catch up on it. Apparently, and also leave us some additional information about what your thoughts were on the show. So I think that's it. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
No, I just think it's gotten better and it's good. I think the writing's great. The acting's really good. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I think it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to the next next episodes for sure. And I like that it's only six. I think that it'll be good. They'll sort of have a encapsulated amount of action, but we'll be able to get a good amount of deterioration to the world at the same time.
If somebody's listening, I tried to find the exact timing of the pickup from the pilot to the 6 to the 15, because I didn't know if they got the second season of 15 in the middle of shooting those 6, after those 6 had been written and shot.
Oh, that's a good question.
And it's not a huge difference, but I think it does. You know, like if they did the 6 thinking, hey, it's going to be just the 6 and let's throw our fucking nut out and make it the best 6 that we can do because it's all we got, versus they got 2 or 3 in the can and like, hey, we got picked up for 15 more, drag it out, you know? Right. Like I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I've seen that happen to a couple of shows. They did that to Prison Break. Like Prison Break wasn't even supposed to be a big deal. Like I think it was supposed to maybe even not be a full on whatever, and then it got extended and they did all sorts of stupid shit to it.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Well, you guys have a great couple of weeks. I know I'll see you in the chat rooms, Rob.
And tell everybody where they can find you again.
Yeah, please let everyone know where they can follow you.
Yeah, definitely. You can follow me on Twitter. That's the best place to connect with me. I'm at Black Rob, BlackQQROB. Hit me up. Follow me. I'll follow you back. I joke. I got some good jokes off with Kermit and Denise debacle that went down yesterday.
That was so funny.
I try to keep it fun on there. So follow me. I'll follow you back. And let's have fun.
Awesome.
Right on.
You can follow me at Leslie Mack, MAC, and you can follow that dude at Very White Guy. And we actually just put up our show with Nick Jew for this week. So you can check that out from What's the Tea on Interracial John. And next week we have Karen from Black Yahoo Tips on. So we're excited for that.
I think it's a bell.
Yeah. And in 2 weeks, Leonard Brother makes his premiere appearance here on the John. So we're excited about that. But I think that's it.
All right.
Good night, everybody.
High five.